We want to continue this morning looking at the subject of graceful giving. I don't know how many weeks we've been looking at this, and the more I study the scriptures and what they have to say about this subject, just the bigger it gets. I find there's much more said about graceful giving in the Word of God than there is about prayer or heaven or a lot of other subjects. And much of this that we find is concentrated here in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, where we'd like to continue. Last week, we got down through the 5th verse of the 9th chapter. You may recall that Paul is writing here to the Corinthian brethren, encouraging them in this subject of graceful giving. And you'll remember that Paul reminded them that in the 5th verse of the 8th chapter that the Macedonians, where Paul was at when he wrote to the Corinthians, had been an example of giving, and that they had given of their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. When we look at the subject of giving, if we're just looking at money, our material things, we're missing a great part of the lesson of giving. Paul says here, when he writes these brethren about graceful giving, he said, they first gave themselves to the Lord. In other words, they were obedient unto God, and they walked with God, and they walked in God's ways. And next he said, they gave themselves to us. In other words, they serve one another. You see, when it comes to giving, some of the most important giving that there is not what we pull out of our billfold and put in the collection plate or give that way. That's important giving. That's good. That's part of this graceful giving. But the point is, it's only a part of it, and we're to give of ourselves. If you stop and think about it, think about the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, He created everything. He created all the gold that there is and all the diamonds that exist and all the platinum and all things that men count as precious stones or precious metals. And all of that was at His command. You remember He told them on one occasion to reach in a fish's mouth and pull out a gold coin, you know. He had all of that available to Him. But where do you find in the Bible that the Lord gave money? You know, He did something about that. Better than that. Now, He commended those that gave of their means and of their money. He commended the widow that gave her 2 mites. And He said, she gave of her living. She gave a penny. All the rest of them out of their abundance gave great treasure. But He said she gave more than all of them. He commended that. But our Lord gave of Himself. And we need to remember that aspect of living, giving. And when we give of ourselves, we're giving as the Lord has given. We are to give of ourselves to one another, for one another, and helping one another. That's what the Lord's example is. And here Paul reminds us of that. You'll recall in 2 Corinthians 8:9, he spoke about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. He talked about the Lord that was rich, occupied heaven, was seated at the right hand of God in heaven, left that eternal home and came to earth and took upon Himself a robe of flesh and became a man, a sinless man. And He went about doing good. And He gave Himself. His life wasn't taken from Him when He was hung on the cross. He laid down His life. His time had come that He was to give His life as a sacrifice and as a ransom for the sins of His children. And He did that willingly. He endured the cross and died on the cross and sacrificed Himself on the cross as an offering to God and as an offering that was accepted of God and was approved of God. And the wrath of God was poured out on His Son, Jesus Christ, there on the cross. And the sin debt was paid by Jesus Christ there on the cross. That was His kind of giving. So there's more giving than just graceful giving. For us, involves more than just giving money. Do you know we're giving? These young mothers here that have babies to take care of. Do you know that there's graceful giving when they take care of them? That's part of giving. They're meeting their needs. As a matter of fact, that's one of the principles that you'll find throughout these two chapters of 2 Corinthians in 8 and 9. That you find abundance spoken of, and you find need spoken of. What is more needy than a little baby and a mother that has time and takes time and reserves time to care for that baby or to care for that child and to see to the needs of that child? That's giving of ourselves to one another. That's serving God. That's part of the Lord's way, and that is a part of graceful giving. And so, but it does involve, and there is an aspect of it that means giving of our means also. Giving of our resources that God has blessed us with. And Paul is talking about that as we continue here in the second chapter in the fifth verse. Notice how he closes out the fifth verse. He says, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before you and make up beforehand your bounty of your blessing, whereof ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Notice what he says here. He's comparing bounty and covetousness. You know what? This turns some of the world's principles regarding giving upside down on its head. You know the worldly religions of the day, you know why they say you should give? They say you should give so that you'll get and you'll reap a lot more than you give. You know what kind of giving that is? Is that giving out of bounty or is that giving out of covetousness? Grace giving, instead of saying you give so that God will multiply the blessings back to you, grace giving doesn't say that. Grace giving says you have been given to, give out of that you've been given to. Give out of thankfulness for what God has done for you. Give out of your bounty. Don't give to get. That's covetous giving. And that's exactly what this verse is teaching here when Paul says, not out of bounty, not as a matter of bounty, or rather do it as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. You turn your TV on, and you turn to any of the religious broadcasts of today, and they'll go on and on and on about sowing a seed, and you sow a seed and you're going to reap multiple times over that. You give your $10 and God will give you back $100. You give your $100 and God will give you back $1,000. That kind of giving, and giving for that reason, is out of covetousness. When you give so that you can get more in return, that's out of covetousness. That's not the kind of giving that is grace giving. Grace giving is not to give so you can get, but grace giving is given because you've already been given to. Grace giving is given of yourself to the Lord and serving the Lord and walking in the Lord's ways. Giving of yourself to one another. Giving of your bounty to others because, not so you can have more, but because you have more than enough already. God has richly blessed you. He's given you more than your needs. If you have more than your needs, then you have bounty. You have extra. You have an abundance that God has given to you to share with others as a matter of bounty. But he goes on and he says this. Look at the next verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But, see that word but? He says, don't give out of bounty. Give out of your abundance. Give because you've been given to. Jesus said on one occasion, freely you have received, freely give. Give because you've been given to. After Paul teaches that principle and says, not as a matter of bounty, and not as a matter of bounty, and not as a matter of covetousness, he said, you give because you've been given to, not so you can get covetously. He goes on and says, but, well, although I've said that, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, what is Paul saying there? Is that not inconsistent with what I just said? No, it's not. Do you remember the principle that Paul had been teaching them? He taught them the principle that there should be an equality among them. If you go back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 14, He says, or beginning in the 13th verse, 2 Corinthians 8:13, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want." You see two words there? Abundance and want. More than enough and need. He says, your supply, your abundance can meet somebody else's needs. That's grace giving. And he says, that your supply is to meet another's needs. That their abundance also may supply, be a supply for your want. That there may be equality. When Paul teaches that we in our abundance are to share of our abundance because we've been given to with those in need, you know what you will reap from that? That doesn't mean that if I give $10, God's going to give me another $100. You know what it is? It's a part of that equality. You know what the promise is and what the reaping is? If I have more than enough and God has blessed me with more than enough and I share that with someone that's in need, the promise of God is that you will reap what you sow. You will reap according to that equality. And that equality is when the day comes, if my needs are not met, God will help me see that my needs are met. But if the day comes when I cannot meet my own needs, maybe I can't feed myself. Maybe I'll have a stroke. Can't even lift a spoon to my mouth. Anything can happen to any of us. And if we live long enough, then we will become helpless. And we will be in need. You know what the promise of God is here? When you have more than enough, when you have strength to help another, when you have means to help another, when you have abundance to help another, and you help one that's in need, if you have a need of your own, then you will reap what you sow. Someone else with an abundance will give to help in your needs. That's what the promise is. God didn't give us this as a formula that we could give away some money and have a whole lot more money. But what God is teaching here is we'll reap what we sow. We'll reap according as we sow. You know, you reap what you sow. That's what the Bible teaches. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if I sow by giving from my abundance to help meet the needs of one that is in want and has needs, then what I will reap is, in my time of need, someone will give of their abundance to help me in my time of need. That's the Word of God. That's the promise of the Word of God. And I believe we can rest on the promises of God. He says, "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Our needs will be bountifully met. Be met from many directions. I believe that. God's able to take care of us, and He does. And one of the ways that God cares for us and takes care of us is through His children, to whom He has entrusted more than their needs. He has given them bounty or an abundance. He says, "Every man," how much are we to give when we give? "Every man, according as," this is in the 7th verse, "every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." God's Word tells us so much about giving. How much are we to give? Now, you know, one thing you need to remember is taught in God's Word. You remember when we started out, we read from the book of Romans how those in Macedonia, it pleased them to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which were at Jerusalem. This is in Romans 15:26. It pleased them to make a contribution for the poor saints which were at Jerusalem. Did you notice there's two words there together? The world says they won't go together. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. These were saints, and they were poor saints. You know, God may allow a poor saint to come into your life or in your realm of influence that you may share your abundance with them. It is not inconsistent, but God saw. You know what God did for those in Jerusalem, those poor saints? Well, it was purposed in the heart of some others to help meet their needs. And so their needs were met. He says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart." Here's the according to. Here's how we are to give. We're a give as it's purposed in our heart, as God lays it on our heart. You know what? When God lays something on our hearts, we need to act on it. You want to draw near to God? You do what God lays on your heart to do. You may not see your way clear. You may not see all the answers. You may not understand it. But you feel a burden that God has laid something on your heart to do. And you feel it's the right thing to do. And you might say, well, I don't know if I'm adequate for that. I don't know if I'm strong enough to deal with that. I don't know if I have the resources to deal with that. I don't know if I have the time to deal with that. I don't know if I'm wise enough to do what God has laid on my heart to do. Or I don't know that I'll have enough for myself if I give as God has laid on my heart to give. You know what? When God lays it on your heart, do it as God lays it on your heart. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Notice what it says, every man. That's not just for daddy in the family. It's not just for the head of the family. It's for every man. You know, give as God lays on your heart. Now, you younger people here, and you parents that have young children or teenagers, they're on an allowance. You know what? You can teach your children that whatever their allowance is, that's for them to spend only on themselves. Every penny of it and more. That's just for them. You know, there's something better that you can teach your children and those of you that get an allowance. I know that there's several of you here that I'm personally aware of, many of you, that get an allowance from mama or daddy. You know what you can do? You can take a portion of that allowance and set it aside and say, I'm going to give this to the church. It may be a dime. It may be 50 cents. It may be a dollar. Whatever you feel led to give. And you know what? You parents should encourage your children to do that. Let them learn that what comes into their hands is a blessing from God. And that we should recognize that it comes from God. And we should lay some aside. Plan to give some. Don't give what's left over. You know, there's a lot talked about this. You got to plan ahead for this. You go back in the book of 1 Corinthians in the 16th chapter, and you read where Paul wrote to these same Corinthians in verse 16, chapter 16, 1 Corinthians, verse 1. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches. Notice Paul says, I've given order to the churches. There's no S on that word. Brother Marvin here gives orders. Faye and I visited with him and his family as he took the command of the brigade there at Fort Benning, and the basic training brigade. And when he gave orders, they followed the orders. Paul did not give orders. He gave order. Then he gave away. Do you remember we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8? He says, I give this not by command, but this is my advice. This is Paul's advice. This is the order of collecting for the saints. This is the way he says it's to be done in 1 Corinthians 16, 1. He says, concerning the collection for the saints, if I've given order, this is a procedure, this is a process you ought to follow, to the churches. By the way, it's not only to each of us individually, but there is some giving that's to be done through the church, given by us collectively, through the church. Not all of our giving has to go through the church, but some of it should, for the honor and the glory of God. He says, upon the first day of the week, that's when the church comes together, the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. You children that get an allowance, he doesn't say, now what you have left after you've taken care of everything you want to take care of, after you've bought all the bubble gum you want, after you bought all the gas you think you need, after you bought the clothes you think you need, or the music CD, or whatever it is you spend your money on, if you have any left over, you ought to think about giving some of that to the Lord. That's not the order Paul sets here. There is a good order in our lives, and that is to plan ahead. To plan ahead to give something from what we have. To give for the needs of others. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. He says, lay by in store. Get ready to give. Think about giving in advance. As God purposes in your heart. And he goes on and says, as God hath prospered him. That's how we're to give, as we've been prospered. How much has God prospered you? That's the kind of giving you ought to be giving. You know what? There's no 10% formula. There's no tithing taught in the New Testament. It is as God has prospered you, as God has purposed in your heart. You know, somebody may not be able to give a half a percent. That poor widow that gave, I don't know what she gave. It was almost nothing, but she gave what she felt led to give. You can't go wrong giving according to what God lays on your heart. But when God lays it on your heart, don't start reasoning and say, I may need it. I can't afford it. I may have to, the car may break down. I may need this for that. I may need for that. Don't worry about your needs. If God lays it on your heart to help another, God will bless you. If you help another in need, God will bless you concerning your needs. Whatsoever you sow, you'll reap. That's a principle taught in God's Word. Plan for it. Every one of you. Every one of you. Do you hear me? Every one of you. You teenagers, you ought to be planning out of your money with some to give. To give. You ought to plan ahead and have the joy of that. There's a blessing in that. And you parents, teach your children to do that. Encourage them to do that. Advise them to do it. Don't make them do it. Tell them what's good about it and that it is good, and encourage them and leave it on their heart to give. That God loves, as He prospers us, He loves a cheerful giver. And He says that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul said, y'all go ahead and you think about it in advance and you give to the church. And then when I visit you there, whatever you've given, that will be used for the benefit of those poor saints at Jerusalem. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 7. By the way, that's the amount you should give. How much should you give? As God lays it on your heart to give. As God has prospered you. That's how to give. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. He says, not grudgingly or of necessity. Not grudgingly. If you don't want to give it, you feel like, well, everybody else is giving this. I got to give too. Somebody gave $10. I guess I better give $10. Keep it in your pocket. It's not going to do you any good. It's not going to be a blessing to anyone. Don't give. If you give grudgingly, don't give it. I mean, you know, don't give it. If the only way you can give, what I say to you teenagers, if you feel like, oh, I'll give, and you say, well, I don't really want to do this, but Brother Wayne said that'd be right. Well, keep it. If it's going to be grudgingly, keep it. And don't do it out of necessity. Don't require it. There is no requirement that we give. There is no requirement that we give. There is no requirement that we have to give back some of what God has given to us. But if God lays it on our hearts, there's a blessing in doing it. And if God lays it on our heart and we don't do it, we're walking away from God and we're distancing ourselves from God. And we are losing the fullness of knowing the blessing of walking in fellowship with God when we turn our backs on that God lays on our hearts to do. He says, not grudgingly, or of necessity. You know what? We don't have any rules around here. We don't say, to belong to this church, you've got to give 10%, or you've got to give $1 a week. We have no rules like that. Give as God lays it on your heart. And you know what? This church has never hurt for needs. This church has never hurt for funds to meet needs. You know why? People give as God lays it on their heart. When God moves them, they give as God moves them to give. And he says, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. You know what you're saying, and you'll find this word throughout these two chapters, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Thanksgiving. Glory to God. You know what you're doing when you're giving? As God lays it on your heart to give, and as God has prospered you? You know what you're doing when you're giving? You're saying, thank you, God, for giving to me. And I can give this part. And to help someone else and to meet their needs. God loves a cheerful giver. There's cheerfulness, there is joy in graceful giving. There's no cheerfulness in grudging giving. There's no cheerfulness in giving of necessity. Now, I know sometimes I get caught in situations in my work, and some businessman will come to me and says, hey, I want you to, you're going to have to, we need your support on this project. And I mean, it's very important to him that he's got to raise money for this project. And sometimes I give to that, but that's out of necessity. I don't get any blessing at all out of that giving. You know why I give? Out of business necessity. I give out of business necessity. And so that I don't offend that businessman that lets me work for him. But I guess in some way there may be some joy and some blessing in that. But it's not like that cheerful giving where God lays something on your heart and you see a need and God lays it on your heart to meet that need. There's a cheerfulness, there's a joy that comes from graceful giving, that comes from God. That's part of the blessing of God. You know what? If you give gracefully to meet the needs of another out of your abundance, and God gives you that joy and that cheerfulness that comes from that giving, you've got the blessing right there. You've already been blessed for your giving. He says, and God is able. Isn't it wonderful that we serve a God that is able? You know, we hear out in the religious world today about God wants to and can't. That's not the God we serve. We serve a God that is able. We serve a God that the Word of God says, this is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life. God's Word says God has promised His children eternal life. Because of God's promise, we will be with Him in heaven. Because of God's promise. God has chosen His people. The Word of God says from before the foundation of the world. He didn't choose us because we're more in number or we're better than anybody else. It's out of grace. By grace are you saved, the Word of God says. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, that's a gift of God. You belong to God. You are a child of God because of the grace of God, not because you deserve God's grace or God's love or God's forgiveness or an eternal home in heaven. What we deserve is right the opposite. We deserve God's wrath, but God in His mercy and by His grace has saved us from our state of sin and us that are unworthy of His love and unworthy of His salvation. God has bestowed that upon us. God is able. And by the way, God's Word not only says that this is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life, God's Word also says in another place, what He has promised, He is able also to perform. You know, I may make a promise to you, and I may intend with all my heart to keep that promise, but something may keep me from keeping that promise. I'm weak. There may be circumstances that come up, and I cannot keep my promise. I may promise to be with a certain church at a certain time and say, I'll be there. I'll try to be there to preach for you on Sunday morning. And I may get caught in, I've had this happen before, caught in a wreck on the freeway and can't move, trapped for hours, and I wasn't able to keep my promise. That's not so with God. The promises that God makes, He's able also to perform. God is able, He says here in the 8th verse, to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things. Are your needs being met? Is anybody here didn't have food for breakfast this morning? Is there anybody here that didn't have clothes to put on their back? Is there anybody here that had to sleep out in the under the clouds, under the skies last night because you didn't have a roof over your head? Is there anybody here that didn't have any of those things yesterday? You know what? We have all sufficiency in all things. Not only material things, but even beyond that, we have all sufficiency in spiritual things that God has so abundantly bestowed upon us. All sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Work out. You know, the Word of God says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God that worketh in you the will and the to-do of His good pleasure. You know what that means? It means God lays that on your heart. What God puts on your heart to do, do it. Do it for the glory of God. Do it for the praise of God. And He goes on and says in the 9th verse, it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now He that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You know why? To the extent that the Word of God says you'll reap what you sow, if we reap financially after we have given to others, you know why God would bless us with that? That's not so we can consume it on our lusts. You know, over there in James it says, you ask and have not, because you ask amiss. He says you ask that you might consume it upon your lusts. You know why God blesses us with more? You know why? If you give as God says to give, and you have more, that's not God saying, here, you've been so good, I'm going to give you more that you can spend on yourself. That's not what it teaches at all. But that when you multiply as your seed sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness. You know what? God may be giving you more for, so you can more so meet the needs of others. Not for yourself, but for others. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Graceful giving is not that you or I can be recognized for being such good folks. But graceful giving is giving according to that God puts on our hearts, purposely, as God inspires us to give, according as God has prospered us. It's not that I might have glory or you might have glory for what you give, but that the glory might be to God, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Graceful giving, the goal of graceful giving, the ultimate goal is thankfulness to God. The giver's thankfulness. Thankful that, God, you've blessed me with an abundance. My needs are met. And so that there might be an equality, I want to help meet the needs of someone whose needs are not being met. Not just financially. Don't limit it to that. This even applies in the spiritual realm. You know, it's awful easy to get comfortable with the truth, isn't it? That we know, I've been saved. I know that Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. I have the comfort of that. I understand that message. I understand the gospel of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Spiritually, I'm comfortable with that. I feel good about that. I find peace in my soul about that. You know what? Then you encounter someone that thinks that they've got to work out their eternal salvation. They've got to please God to get to heaven. They've got to do something that man says they've got to do to be a child of God. You know what? You have something to share with them. You've got an abundance to share with them. The good news of what Jesus Christ has done for them. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. And he says, while by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God. Graceful giving is an expression of thanksgiving. It brings thanks to God. As you gracefully give, you're saying thanks to God for what He has bestowed upon you. And as those in need, and we may be that one in need, we don't know what tomorrow brings. As we gracefully receive, we give thanks to God for His gift of seeing that our needs are met. And it is glorifying to God, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, or handling this, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. Do you see that? The purpose of graceful giving? It's not so we can stand up and say, Brother so-and-so gave so much. Boy, you know, we ought to all give. No, that's not what it's about. It's about thanksgiving to God and for the glory of God. Well, that's why I like some of this church giving. It ties the giving in with the cause of Christ. And says we're giving because God has given to us that liberal distribution, this ministration. They glorify God for your professed subjection. Your obedience and graceful giving brings glory to God. Don't seek glory for yourself, but glory to God. And he says, by their prayer, you know what else graceful giving does? It results in prayer. It results in prayer to God. Prayers of thanksgiving and prayers to God for one another. And by their prayer for you. You know, sometimes somebody does something really good for you and they help you meet a need. And you say, I just wish there's something I could do for them, for what they've done for me. You know there is. There's something every one of us could do. We may not have a penny in our pocket. We may not have a gift materially to give to someone else. But if someone helps us, you know what we can do for them? One of the greatest gifts we can give for them? We can pray for them. We can pray for them. Do you know every one of us can do that? We can pray for one another, pray to God on behalf of our brothers and sisters, by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. You know what? There's something about people that are graceful givers. You want to be around them. People that give of themselves to the Lord. People that give of themselves to one another. People that give of their abundance or of their bounty to meet the needs of others. You know, there's just something attractive about that, isn't there? It appeals to your heart. There's something you like about that. He says that they long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. That's the grace of God in you. And then Paul concludes all these lessons. He says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. The unspeakable gift. That unspeakable gift, I guess, could be a lot of things. The gift of life. The gift of all that we need to sustain life. The gift of eternal life. The gift of hope of an eternal home in heaven when this life is over. The gift of salvation. And it is a gift. We don't deserve it. It's a gift of God. The gift of eternal salvation. The gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, that came to earth and paid the sin debt for us. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Do you see one of the ways we say thanks to God for His unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ? You know, we can say it in a lot of ways. We can say it with words, you know. James says, you know, you show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith with works. You know, over in 1 John, in the 3rd chapter of 1 John, in the 16th verse, we find that these words written by John. He says, therefore receive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. That's that unspeakable gift of God. He laid down His life for us. You know, I mentioned being down there at Fort Benning. They combined that change of command with a graduation ceremony. I don't know, maybe 200 new young soldiers. Teenagers, most of them. Just finishing basic training. Going off to battle. Volunteered for the military in this time of war. And going to Iraq. And I looked over there and there were families. And new brides. Sisters and brothers, mothers and daddies, girlfriends. The stands were full of them there, those young men that volunteered to serve their country. You see, patriotism and being willing to serve others, do you realize that's a part of our service? It's a part of our service. Knowing that some of those young men that will go to Iraq, they won't come back as they went. Some of them will come back without an eye, without an arm, without a leg. Some of them will come back in a body bag out of that many young men. It's very likely. And they pay a great sacrifice. You're talking about a gift. He laid down. I was thinking, they are willing to lay down their lives for their fellow man. That's not the best paying job in the world to join the military as a buck private, right out of basic training. Don't pay very well at all. And it's not the safest job in the world either, especially when you're going to a foreign battlefield. But Jesus Christ, we think about those young men, those young soldiers, those young warriors. They're willing to serve and lay down their lives, not only for one another, but for their country and for their commander-in-chief. We have one that laid down His life for all of us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, we can talk about love all day. We can say we love all day. The question is, are we willing to give of ourselves to the Lord and to one another and to give of our means as God, as we purpose in our heart, as God has prospered us. There's a joy in that. That's my advice to you. You'll notice if you picked up anywhere that in anything that I've tried to teach about graceful living from the Word of God, that I've tried to compel anybody to give, you've misunderstood me. I hadn't made myself plain. That's not my intent at all. We don't want a giving of necessity. We don't want giving grudgingly. We want the giving that God puts on your heart. Whether it be giving of yourself and serving one another, your own family, as you mothers, give of yourselves to take care of these children, and you fathers, as you provide for them and give of yourselves, and as you set an example for one another, and as you encourage one another along life's way. That's giving of yourselves. Give yourself to the Lord. Give yourselves to one another. And as God prospers us and of our abundance, give of our means to help meet the needs of others. Give of ourselves to meet the needs of others, our time, our attention, our encouragement, and if God lays it on our heart, even of our material bounty. May God bless you is my prayer.